This week on It's So Bad, we're adding one of 17 NES launch titles to the endless list, and only one of two that weren't made by Nintendo. This game is Kung Fu on It's So Bad. Welcome, Steve, Matt, Chris,
hello,
to another episode of the podcast.
Week two of our food block.
This is a food block. We didn't mention that in the last one, but
we're all in on the foo. Yeah,
we did Shaq Fu last week.
It's a theme month for 2 weeks.
A wolf as of now.
Right. And this week we're adding Kung Fu, also known as Kung Fu Master in the arcades, to the endless list. We're going to focus on the Nintendo version. That's the one we all played. But the game developed by Irem, ported to the NES by Nintendo R&D1. One of, as I mentioned in the intro, 17 NES launch games. Do you guys know the entire roster? Because I'm going to go down it right now of the NES launch games.
So why don't you could
take
us
away,
us.
Mike.
Yeah, take us away.
Yeah.
So you had Kung Fu, 10-Yard Fight were the two games that weren't made by Nintendo. They were both made by Irem.
10-Yard Fight is a great football name, game name.
It's a terrible game.
Yeah, I really like the name.
Absolutely terrible. Baseball, Clue Clue Land, Duck Hunt, Excite Bike, Golf, Gyromite, Hogan's Alley, Ice Climber, Pinball, Soccer, Stack Up, Tennis, Wild Gunman, Wrecking Crew, and Super Mario Bros. Were the launch titles that came out on the NES. They were the black box games because they had black box art when they first came out. Kung Fu was one of them. And it was also it came out a year before in the arcades as Kung Fu Master. It is known as one of the first beat-em-up games. It's actually in the Guinness Book of World Records as the first beat-em-up game. But I never like to say absolutely that a game is a first anywhere, because there's always side games that come up that are people like, well, is this the first one? Because there's a game called Bruce Lee that was a PC game, or not a PC game, but an Atari ST game that was released in the same year. That might have been. And there's other games that are similar, but not a lot of games had the scrolling, punching with the bosses, and the revenge tale that are so tropey for beat-em-ups like Kung Fu does.
Yeah.
Did any of you played this game before we brought it up to be played on this podcast?
No, I saw I've seen the box art a bunch, and that's as far as I've ever gotten.
Yeah, I mean, I played it growing up.
Okay.
I didn't actually have it, but most of my friends had it, so.
And Steve?
Yeah, this was the first I'd ever heard of this game.
This game was designed by Takashi Nishiyama, the guy who designed Street Fighter, the original Street Fighter.
Well, the original Street Fighter was pretty bad, so.
Yeah, but he also designed Fatal Fury.
Okay. Better.
So. Yeah, he would be the guy that SNK poached to make their fighting games back in the day. So that's how Street Fighter 2 came out the same year as Art of Fighting, and I think Fatal Fury came out a year later. Takashi Nishiyama was the guy who made that happen. He worked before this game on Moon Patrol, which is another different type of game. He also worked on Section Z and Trojan. He worked on a lot of games in the 80s. I feel like designers back in the 80s just had a plethora of games they worked on, because these games took 6 months to a year to develop, right, as opposed to games today that take 3 or 4 years.
There probably wasn't a lot of competitors looking for the same kinds of jobs either. You know, there were only so many game designers probably.
I would say that's fairly accurate, I would imagine. Before this game came out, just some notable games. So I mentioned Bruce Lee. There's also a game called Karate Champ, which is kind of the first, I'm not going to say absolute, but one of the first fighting games where it's a 2-1 versus 1 game. And then the year after this game, you had Karateka and Gi R Kung Fu, which kind of iterated on the Karate Champ concept. But yeah, those games all kind of fit the same type of style. But this game is fast in a way that those games aren't. Like, that's a very deliberate, like, fighting game. This is you move down a hall, you kick, and you kill guys instantaneously as soon as you kick
them. And it's, like, responsive, too. It's, like, very, like, the reaction to your button press is very quick. There's, like, we were talking a lot about, like, the frame data of Shaq Fu and how terrible it was. Like, this seems much more refined for a game coming out 9 years, 10 years earlier.
Right. And it's also, like, responsive. When you hit guys, there's a feeling like you hit guys,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
when you hit a...
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I first fired up this game, I didn't quite have the timing down, and, like, guys would slip through my attacks, and, like, if they get on you, they start hurting you. And I was like, oh, this doesn't feel great. But once I figured out the timing, like, yeah, it was so satisfying to just, like, land a perfect kick on somebody and watch them go poof.
Yeah, and they, like, come in rows, and when you hit them, they fall down, and it's very satisfying to hit, like, three guys in a row. And then, like, turn the other way and hit three guys in a row.
Yeah, you got guys coming from the left and right, you're like, hi-ya, wah, and you can do, like, a little, like, arm spin, like, punch. Pretty cool for early NES game.
And it feels like you're fighting some guy.
Yeah, it's great when they come at you from two sides, and just like you said, when you switch back and forth really quick and knock a bunch of guys out, you're like, I am a karate master.
I was like, where are you going with that statement? Initially. But yeah, it's good. This game came out in Japan. It was called Spartan X. They were basing it off of a Bruce Lee movie called Game of Death. Is anybody into?
Yep, like, that's the one where he has to go all the way up the tower, right?
Yeah. So it's
doesn't he fight like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar
so.
Then or something like that?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's why you fight a giant in one section. So that's one of the bosses in this game. But yeah, Bruce Lee died while making that game that movie.
Yeah, the title is a little too on the mark.
Yeah. So he started filming that movie and then got an offer to film Enter the Dragon, which was for a lot more money. So he left the filming of Game of Death and would never come back because he died at the end of filming Enter the Dragon. But yeah, they changed. So the developers wanted to base it on Game of Death, but they got the rights to Spartan X, which was a Jackie Chan movie in Japan. In the U.S., it's known as Meals on Wheels, I guess, which is a terrible title. But it's like a comedic like kung fu movie from the early 80s or late 70s. And the movie plot has nothing to do with what the game is, aside from the naming of the hero, Jonathan, I think his name is, and the name of the...
Thomas,
yeah.
Oh, Thomas. I knew it was some just like random white dude name.
Exactly.
And Sylvia was the name of the person they needed to rescue. And that's like the only thing it has common with Meals on Wheels. But yeah, it's known as Spartan X in Japan. It was ported to the NES by Shigeru Miyamoto.
It was ported to the NES. It wasn't like built from the ground up, or you know, like they were able to port it to the NES.
Yeah, so it was made by Irem, and it was ported to the NES. Yeah. So, well, I don't know if it ported is the right terminology, because they basically had to build it from the ground up, I'm assuming, right, for the NES. But yeah, the Nintendo R&D1 actually oversaw that. And for the Nintendo version, Koji Kondo did the music, who he's most famously known for doing all of the Super Mario Brothers music, doing all of the Legend of Zelda music. So this also had like the top high-end of high-end people from Nintendo working on this game.
I don't know. Spoiler alert, I think this is a good game.
Yeah, it's a very good game. I guess also, I was reading up on this, and so there was only two games that weren't Nintendo-developed that were released at launch for the NES, and Kung Fu was specifically chosen by the president, Hiroshi Yamauchi, of Nintendo. He went over the head of the development team for Spartan X and Kung Fu to the head of Irem's parent company to get the rights to port this game to the NES because he thought it was that important for the NES launch in the US. And the people who made the game were pissed about it because they wanted to be this to be the first game, the first Irem game on Nintendo. And they were so upset that Nintendo had to please them in the future. So Famicom carts were pretty standard. They're like a big horizontal, what do you call those? A rectangle. They're just different colors.
Okay.
Sorry. I couldn't think of the word.
One of those long square things.
A box.
They're just a box, right? But they could be different colors. That's what Nintendo allowed people to do. But for Irem games in the future, most notably Splunker, which is an Irem game, they allowed them to put lights in it.
Oh, that's cool.
So when you put it into the system, they could have a light, and that made them stand out. And so, like, Nintendo allowed Irem to do things that normally other publishers wouldn't be able to do because they had a special relationship out of Kung Fu.
That seems fair. Fair compromise.
Yeah, so... Yeah, this game, you are Thomas. You go through the Devil's Temple. You have to go through, I think, 5 different levels. You have to fight bosses. This was something that wasn't seen at the time. They usually were one-screen affairs before this. So if you look at games like Donkey Kong and Popeye and... just games of the time like Pac-Man, etc. Usually have one flat screen. There's no scrolling. But this game, you move from right to left or left to right, depending on the stage, and you fight guys, you get to a boss, you fight a boss, and you move on. And this was a formula that would be iterated upon endlessly after this, up until the 3D era, where it was a little bit more free movement.
Yeah, and I mean, it gives you the variety of, you know, two different moves, like two different attacks.
Plus you can jump kick.
You can do a jumping attack of each. So I guess you had 4 attacks. The enemy variety I thought was pretty good. Or like the enemy design. So there's like the grabbers are like the base enemy that comes at you. The knife dudes that can throw a low or high like projectile, kunai, whatever. What else? There's the, just for base enemies, there's the small children that kind of thing that either grab your shins or they can like jump on your head, which I thought was pretty cool.
If they jump on your head, it's like such little damage.
Right. It's just, it's annoying more than anything. It kind of stuns you for a second.
Right.
And then weirdly, there's then also like inanimate objects and animals that fight you as well.
Yeah. There's bees and there's
snakes,
gourds that generate snakes or like bullets and dragons sometimes.
Yeah, and the snakes hit like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, the snake levels or like the animal levels were almost like platformers more than anything, because like you're not you're dodging them more often than you're like combating them.
Right.
I don't know. I thought this game, you know, for 1984, like early beat 'em up, had a decent amount of like strategic depth to it. I liked that you would like want to punch instead of kick to get more points to get your extra life. I wish that they give you an extra life at 50,000 points. I wish they kept giving you extra lives. Because once you...
Do they give you... They might give you extra lives at like 100,000 after that. No?
Just one extra life at 50K. So once you hit that extra life, you should just be kicking the whole time because the kick is better than the punch. Yeah, I don't know. How you like... If you've got, you know, like 2 knife guys on each side of you and other guys running at you, I don't know. I think like the moment-to-moment gameplay is engaging and fun.
Yeah,
and it feels fair the whole time. It never, like a lot of, I think these early games can feel unfair. Like even Shaq Fu as a comparison, like felt unfair when you're playing against the AI. And this never felt that way.
Yeah, and there's very specific ways to beat the bosses normally. So like some of them you have to crouch and kick. The short Kung Fu master guy, you have to crouch and punch, for example. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who you have to fight, you have to crouch and kick.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then you get to the...
Yes, the giant guy.
That's supposed to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No, it's just... It's kind of like a reference to Bruce Lee fighting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Game of Death.
I never put that together. Because he looks fatter.
Oh, yeah. That's why I kept referencing it in our Discord chat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a lanky dude. So I just...
That's what made him so dangerous in Game of Death. He was so lanky.
Yeah, he's mad
Bruce
lanky.
Lee couldn't get at him. Couldn't get at him.
And then Mr. X is like the combination of everything you've learned previously, right? It's just like being really good at dodging and kicking and stepping back.
Or just crouch and kick. Because you can get him stuck in a loop.
Yeah, really for me, I made him attack and then I ran in and hit him. He's like Bizarro Ken, too. That's like the vibe I get from him. Like Street Fighter Ken. Although I guess this was much before then, so maybe Ken is Mr. X.
Was Ken in the original Street Fighter?
I don't know if he was called Ken. There was definitely like a second player, the other player.
Yeah.
But I don't know like when the lore of Ken was created.
Also, this is the same creator, so.
Yeah, I guess he's allowed then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, this game is really good. I enjoy this game a lot. I think it's kind of simple, but at the same time, like, pick up and play, it's super fun to play. And then you repeat the loop after you defeat Mr. X. You start at the beginning and it gets a little harder. There's like a second mode, I think, that's a little bit harder as
the
well.
Game B.
I think the guys, yeah, damage, you take more damage from hits, I believe.
Right.
And there's more enemies. But yeah, it's game good. Anything else?
I should have checked. Do you know if in second, like there's a two-player mode? Do you know if the sprite is different for Thomas when you're the second player?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Disappointing.
Yeah, and that's like the back and forth, like old school Nintendo thing of you go, I go, you right. go, I go, when you die.
It's really just diplomacy for when you have a sibling that also wants to play.
I never had to deal with that, so luckily. My sister does not enjoy the video games, except for Balloon Fight. But that was co-op, so it's the only game we played. But yeah. Did we all beat it? Or run through a first cycle, I should say?
No, I didn't beat it, unfortunately.
I beat it minutes before this podcast.
I've beat it in the past, and I beat it again for this. I enjoy Mr. X's chuckle as you work your way up the tower.
That's the same chuckle as when Ganon returns in The Adventure of Link.
Is it? I was trying to remember. It was like one of the ones that was like used in Punch-Out or something like that, because I knew it sounded familiar. I guess I didn't put that together.
They just slow it down in that game.
Mm.
So it's that sound. But yeah, so there's a sequel to this game. They originally wanted to make a sequel, and they didn't end up making a sequel until like 92, I think, or 91, for only in Famicom, only in Japan, called Spartan X 2. It's like a very different game. It feels more like Bad Dudes, but Bad Dudes feels exactly like this game. So
yeah, I have Spartan X 2 on a flash cart, and I've beaten it. It's not
it's not great.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as good as this game. Loses a lot of the charm of this game.
Matt, did you say there's a game called Bad Dudes?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Is there? I don't know.
Yeah, Bad Dudes is like an NES classic.
It's first I've heard
It's not
of
very
it.
Good. Chris likes it, though.
No, I don't.
you don't?
Have you ever, like, heard like, or seen, like, the meme of, like, people going, like, you know, are you a bad enough dude to save the president? Or thanks for saving me, bad dude. Let's go have a cheeseburger. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ronald Reagan.
You know what? I just YouTubed it, and I recall this like opening screen.
Okay.
I probably wasn't able to read when I played this game, so I didn't know what it was called.
That game was very much inspired by this game. But yeah, so there was a Game Boy port of this game too, which is very very different. I would like to play it. It seems like it's It would feel the same, but it's a very different game from like a stage design and level design and enemy design perspective. And then what else do I have for you? So there's a French film, and I posted it in our Discord. I don't know if anybody looked up the plot. There's a French film called Kung Fu Master. Now, when you think of a movie called Kung Fu Master, what comes to your mind? Anybody?
Kung Fu cinema.
French cinema, Chris?
French cinema.
It is like the Frenchest movie that I could possibly imagine. So it's about a kid who is at like an arcade, and this woman takes her daughter there, and the mother becomes smitten with the kid who plays Kung Fu, and she develops feelings for him, and they eventually have a tryst, and she takes him to like an island retreat, and they like have sex, and he's like a 14-year-old kid, and then the woman gets found out, and she gets shamed by the community, and he is just like, oh yeah, just I was fucking some bored housewife at the end of it. And it's like the most French movie that you could possibly imagine.
Gotta watch more French movies.
Wow.
This is a movie called Kung Fu Master. So, yeah, that happened. But yeah, so just to get into our ranking discussion, this game sold, the NES port sold over 3.5 million copies. I think a big factor in that was probably because it was released around the same time Karate Kid was released, and the sprite actually kind of looks like Karate Kid.
Sure.
So that probably was a factor. I think there was a Karate Kid fever sweeping the United States as well.
Still sweeping.
The Summer of Machio.
I know, is that a pun? Summer of Machio. Karate Kid fever sweeping? Is that supposed to be a pun?
Nice. Sweep the leg.
I would say that this game is very much, as we said, it's like one of the first beat-em-ups. After this game came out, one of the first, like, what we consider to be beat-em-ups came out, where you can go up and down on a plane, which was Renegade, which is known as Neketsu Koha Kunio-kun. The first Kunio-kun game is really the first game that is like a modern beat-em-up, where you have like a plane you can go up and down on. And that game was inspired by this game. You know, after Kung Fu comes out, you get Renegade, you get Bad Dudes, you get Double Dragon, you get Final Fight, you get games like Vigilante, those games that are all directly inspired by this game. And as I mentioned earlier, this game is also in the Guinness Book of World Records as the quote-unquote first beat-em-up game. So that's where we stand. So where does this game go on our endless list, which you can find in the podcast description? The complete endless list goes from 1 Super Mario 64 down to 86 Jurassic Park Trespasser. Last week we added Shaq Fu at number 85, and it's somewhere in between those games.
Yo, am I crazy for thinking this game is better than Tapper?
No, I think this game's better than Tapper.
Alright, cool.
For reference, what number is Tapper?
Tapper is 58. It's 50 on our list.
Yeah. I think this game's better than Rampage.
Which is 51.
50, yeah. Which, yeah.
I would agree.
I don't think this game is better than Ninja Gaiden.
That's kind of like where I was kind of at as well.
So Ninja Gaiden's 43. We're talking about OG 1988 Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right above Pilot Wings.
yeah, Pilot Wings is actually an interesting thought to compare.
Talk about games that control extremely precisely versus games that control like dog shit.
Well, I mean, I think Pilot Wings, I mean, it's kind of purposeful.
I'm exaggerating for effect. So
I mean, is that what we're comparing it to right now? Pilot Wings? I'm struggling to.
I had more fun playing this game, and I will go back to this game more than I would Spider-Man 2 or Pilot Wings.
I think it's better than Pilot Wings.
I think that Diablo is like a bigger experience, and I don't really want to put it above Diablo, to be honest with you.
But on the above Diablo is Luigi's Mansion, and I think this is better than Luigi's Mansion.
The Luigi's Mansion wall must hold.
I was a little stuck at Toe Jam and Earl. That's kind of where I was, which is, for reference, is 44, and Luigi's Mansion's 45, Diablo's 46.
I just feel like, in terms of like the experience that you're having, there's way more depth with a game like Diablo, and I think that Diablo has a legacy that's akin to Kung Fu as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think there's more depth to Pokemon Snap too, but that didn't do Pokemon Snap any favors.
Oh, Snap!
I don't think there's any depth to Pokemon really? Snap. I think it's a very base game. Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's.
Listen, you can throw an apple at a Pokemon, yeah, and it'll fall in the water and then transform into another Pokemon.
And like the composition of your photography, like get different ranks.
How does that even work in that game?
Yeah, you gotta center your subject. You know.
Why are we talking about Pokemon Snap?
It's not something that can be explained, Mike. You know, taking a good photograph, it's just, you know, it's ephemeral.
You motherfuckers are getting your new Pokemon Snap, so shut the hell
up.
Well,
so, I mean, why was Diablo not as good as Luigi's Mansion? Remind me.
I feel like there's more of a handcraftedness to Luigi's Mansion that doesn't exist in Diablo. And I think that's just a product of their procedurally generated levels. But also I think it's the encounters that you have in Luigi's Mansion, because they're so handcrafted, there's a more interesting experience you get out of that, for me personally.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the levels, like the mansion and room design of Luigi's Mansion, I think, was pretty good.
Right.
I think, like, Toe Jam and Earl, which is above Luigi's Mansion, is a simple game, but there is a, like, flavor and, like,
aesthetic
style
appeal
to it that, yeah, is so good that kind of makes up for, you know, I mean, there's not great depth to Toe Jam and Earl, but I think the style and other things makes up for that. So what, you think it, I mean, is everyone on the same page? Do we think it's worse than Diablo, but better than Pilot Wings?
So I never really played Diablo or Luigi's Mansion, and I don't think I would put it above Toe Jam and Earl, so I think it's one of those things I kind of defer to you guys in the two games below Toe Jam and Earl.
I would agree it doesn't,
yeah,
beat Toe Jam and Earl.
I don't really have a strong opinion about where Kung Fu goes, but I do kind of take the point that, like, Diablo's kind of got a little bit more depth, and it feels like there's, like, this dividing line between, like, slightly more simple games and games with a little bit more depth as you go up the rankings here. So I could see it going right below Diablo.
I think that's a good spot for it, because I think, like, there are simpler games above it, but I think those are better experiences. So, do you want to call it a day and put it at number 47?
Put it there.
Yep.
I think it's crazy that Matt is putting this game above Pilot Wings.
I think I like this game a lot. Oh, I don't think. I know that I like this game a lot. I like Pilot Wings too. I just think Pilot Wings could have done more for me.
I feel like when I'm fleshing out an argument, you know, I always think about, you know, the whole of the experience, right? But then I also think about, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, do I want to play a game? Do I want to play this game again, or do I want to play this game again? When I'm comparing,
like,
the
I actively
and,
want to play Kung Fu again.
Yes, exactly. Like, you can pick up that game and play it for 20 minutes and run through it, and it's satisfying. Right. Like, you feel like it's challenging enough where you can beat it, but you also don't feel like it's super easy.
True. Whereas Pilot Wings, 40... in comparison, is a game like I want to play every, you know, couple of years, like when I kind of forget about it. As much as I enjoy the experience when I do play it, it's just, it runs its course.
And it's got tremendous music.
It's the music.
I'll give it that.
So good.
So we have a new number 47, Kung Fu. Congratulations on making the top 50 for now. Thank you all for joining us this week. As I mentioned, you can find the complete endless list on our Medium page. It's also listed in the podcast description. You can follow us at itsobadpod. itsobadpod@gmail.com is the email address. And we will be back next week with another entry on our endless list. But thank you, Steve, Chris, and Matt, for joining me this week.
Anytime.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah.
Well, thank you.